is a series on discipleship, a series on the practices of Jesus. We look at the life of Jesus, and we look, okay, what are some of the things that Jesus consistently did and taught his disciples that we need to do to practically live out a life of discipleship? That people look at our lives and say, well, okay, what is it then that you do differently? Not necessarily, what do you believe differently? A whole bunch of things. But what is it that you do differently? And so there's nine things that we're talking through in this series. And it's just quickly. So that's Sabbath, prayer, fasting, scripture, solitude, simplicity, and then generosity, community, and hospitality. Nine practices from the life of Jesus that we want to look at and say, how can we make that practical, starting where we are, but how can we grow in all these nine practices and make them part of the rhythms of our lives? And so that's what we're doing. And we're just going through them all quickly, one sermon per practice, but we're going to go through them a little bit more in depth later. So in the spring, we're going to take the first three and spend four Sundays on each of them. So really digging in deep to Sabbath and prayer and fasting, and then next year continue with that in scripture. And so really look forward to it. And so I want to invite, these are all these nine practices are invitations, I believe, from God to you. Say, do you want a life of freedom and abundance? Do you want a life close to me? Here are some ways to do that. Do you want to be close to me? Do you want to become more like me, like what you see in the life of Jesus? And do you want to do the things that Jesus did? Here are some ways to practically live that out. So, exciting. I must tell you, I just came back from our annual Vineyard Benelux conference. Which was pretty cool. I haven't been in 3 years, of course, you know, COVID, and last year I couldn't because we just had a baby. And so I am on fire. I had tons of people pray over me. It was really a bit weird the first night. I was like, this feels weird. What does it feel weird? Like, I don't have to do anything. I'm here just to receive. And so I decided I'm just going to let as many people as possible pray over me in this weekend. And so I got a ton of words. And one of them was about, I see you as a lion with a tongue of fire. So watch out. Watch out. Here we go. Okay. I have a question, and there's a follow-up question to the first question. Who here is especially excited about Scripture, about the Bible? That's good. Yeah, excited. Okay. Heather, would you come up and do the Scripture reading today? It's short, I promise. Not this one. Here. So would you read with us Hebrews 4, verse 11 to 13?
Hi, everyone. I'm Heather.
Let's all stand for the reading of the Word of God.
Hebrews 4, verses 11 to 13. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the Word of God is the living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul, of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you so much. All right, you can be seated. All right. So, according to a research done in 2009, and of course all researches are done in America, so it's about Americans, but it may apply to all of us. So this research was done by the University of San Diego, and they discovered, the research was called How Much Information? And in 2009, they discovered that the average American has a daily intake of about 100,000 words. 100,000 words coming through conversation, but also media, reading, television, radio, whatever. This is an increase of 200% compared to 1980. So in only 30 years' time, we got to digest double the amount of words per day. By comparison, depending on the translation of your Bible, that contains about 750,000 words or 800,000 words. So it's quite a bit of data, of information that we get to digest every day. And that information we have to filter and we have to process. Now, I'm not going to talk about what that does to your brain and all of that, and how we... So Alex will speak next week a little bit more about silence and solitude and how that is actually needed. What I want you to understand today is that all this information that we get to process every day, it all has something to say to you. What I mean is that every bit of information contains an agenda for formation. Information is formation going in. There's no neutral information. Everything that you hear, everything that you read, everything that you watch wants to tell you something about how you see yourself, how you see the world, how you see life in general. All those 100,000 words, 1/8 of your Bible, contains messages. There's a goal behind it. There's a motivation behind it. There's an agenda behind it. Your professor at university has an agenda. Your friend has an agenda. Your news app has an agenda. The TV series and movies that you watch, they have an agenda. Every little bit of information contains some sort of a form of formation. Now, some of these messages do align with what your loving creator has to say to you, with his view of the world. But the reality is that a lot of it, let's say most of it, does not. Some of it contains plain lies. Some of it contains half-truths. And some of it may be true technically, but contains a different motivation. Now, what I'm trying to say here is not unplug your TV, unplug your radio, your phone, cancel the newspaper subscription you don't have anyway, and become a hermit of some sort. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying this for an increased awareness that the information you get to digest has an agenda for formation. We need to be aware that formation is happening constantly, and most of it is happening unconsciously. So you're not going, oh, this information I'm taking in as formation and it's changing my worldview. Most of it is happening subconsciously. It's like it's just happening to you. You let it happen to you. The world, especially today's world of what one smart guy calls digital capitalism. So like it's through all the internet and social media and stuff, like there's an agenda like we want your money, or this anything that's free tells you that you are the product. in the world of clickbait, in the world of Netflix, the world is a formation machine. That ending of that romantic movie is subconsciously shaping your worldview, thinking that I need to find my true love in order to be happy. The way that the sitcom that you watch is talking about love is telling you that every guy is only after one thing, and so you should not trust men. The way that the news is talking about everything wants to tell, is shaping the way that you view the world. It's not just giving you data, this is what's happening. It's telling you how to feel about what is happening. Every book, every movie, every show, every article, every TikTok has a message for you. And we need to be aware about what that information that we feed our minds with, what it does. We need to understand that there's an agenda for formation in that. It will form the way that we think. So how do we discern what is true? How do we make sure that we keep a view of the world that aligns with the view of our Creator God while not living completely detached from the world? Is there a practice from the way of Jesus that will help us to discern well? And the answer is yes. We have available to us a book that is so rich, that is so beautiful, that is so relevant and so reliable. I just recommend that you read it every day. In my hands, I have the book that is the most read, most translated, most studied, most discussed, most cited book in the whole world by a landslide. It covers the whole of human history from creation to new creation, but it regularly zooms in on personal situations, on personal questions, on personal lives. It's written over a period of 2,000 years in 3 different languages by at least 40 different authors, among who are kings and farmers, young, old, leaders, nobodies. Yet it is completely consistent in what it teaches. And that is a miracle in itself. It is the richest book that you'll ever read. It is the most difficult book that you will ever read. It's the most radical book that you will ever read. It's not for nothing that it's banned in 52 countries. And in it, the most infinitely high God, the creator and the sustainer of the universe, reveals who he is to us as a loving, merciful, faithful, personal God. And not through an instruction manual, but through real life stories, through real life struggles, through genealogies, and some instructions and laws, and teaching, eyewitness reports. It gives space for the human emotion. It gives space for the human struggle, for pain, for the questions and doubts. And we believe that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it is completely true and reliable in what it claims. I have a question for you. Why is it sitting on the shelf? Why is it sitting on the shelf? Why is it that for so many Christians, the book that I just described in 100 words, why is it sitting on the shelf? Why is it the reality of so many of us, no condemnation, that it is not a daily practice that we just take a few minutes, that we just take 15 minutes, that we just take some time to read what it says? We need to become aware that without daily engagement with the truth of Scripture, soaking ourselves in the very words of God, that we will fall prey to the formation machine that is the secular world that we live in. The way that you view the world, the way that you view life, the way that you view others, the way that you view God, the way that you view the church, will be formed by your daily intake of information. And either it will happen intentionally, some say, you know, your life next year like is largely slayed by the books you read and the people you meet. Or another one that I love is trash in, trash out. It's maybe easier to remember. It will happen intentionally or it will happen unintentionally. And so if you're not intentional about it, it's still happening, but just unintentional. You just let it happen to you. In the introduction of a beautiful book that I read, every book that I cite, I want to make sure I've also read it, Beautiful Resistance by John Tyson. I can highly recommend this preacher. He's far better than I am. He opens with a story about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, Bonhoeffer was a German pastor in the time of Nazi Germany. Sadly, he was killed, I think, only weeks or months before the actual liberation of Europe and the end of Nazi Germany. And he had always resisted the agenda of the Nazis, which was, of course, very blatant and and obviously destructive, but in a time where most of the church was turning a blind eye. Perhaps they didn't know, or they didn't want to know, or were focused on self-preservation. Not the point today. But they were turning a blind eye. But he was going against the streams of where their culture, where their world was going. And years before the war, he started an underground seminary, quite hidden from most of the world, called Finkenwald. And they trained pastors there in the ways of Jesus, practically living out the ways of Jesus together. But they were way too radical. And so a friend of him came, was maybe sent by some other friends, like, you go talk to this crazy dude. He's being way too radical. And so this friend comes and talks with him. And then he says, okay, let's go on a boat trip. And so they go on a boat trip. And then they come ashore and they climb this hill. And it's quite close to a German army base where they train teenagers and young men for war. And then one of the biographies says that Bonhoeffer spoke of a new generation of Germans in training for a kingdom of hardness and cruelty. It would be necessary, he explained, to propose a superior discipline if the Nazis are to be defeated. You have to be stronger than these tormentors that you find everywhere today. And John Tyson summarizes this statement in this way: this has to be stronger than that. This meaning our ways of formation, what we do when it comes to formation, how we are being formed for discipleship. It needs to be stronger than that, the way that the world is trying to form us into its disciples. Discipleship must be stronger than cultural formation. And I'm convinced that if we as Christians want to survive and thrive in our relationship with God in the times that we live in that are changing super radically, and it's not going closer to the kingdom of God, we need to become very, very intentional about what we allow to form us. And so I'm inviting you today to become more intentional about what you allow to form the way that you see life, the way that you the words that you allow to come in and form you, and choose to be formed by the Word of God. And this happens when we make the daily reading of Scripture a priority in our lives. Only the Word of God has the power to cut through the noise and the nonsense that is thrown at us every day. All those messages, you need this, you want that, this should make you angry, this is what is happening, and this is how you should feel about it. This is definitely going to improve your life by, you know, all those messages. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning through the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight. No agenda, no word, no formation, no culture is hidden from its sight. But all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Why would you leave the book that presents you the truth of God and exposes the lies of the world on the shelf while struggling through all the questions and all the challenges that life presents to you? I'm amazed by how many Christians do not have a regular practice of reading the Word. And the thing is, since the Reformation and since the invention of the book press, we really don't have any excuses anymore. They're just there. And since the invention of the smartphone, you can even have it for free. So it really comes down to making it a priority. I remember leading a small group of 20-somethings, not here, at a church. And we discussed, you know, what are some daily practices that you have in your relationship with God? How do you feed yourself? And I discovered, and these were all passionate Christians involved in church, involved some in some form of leadership, but like front row people dancing in the worship, stuff like that. And I says, well, yeah, I do read about every now and again. Yeah, like once a week, I'll read a, I'll look at my phone for the first of the day. And I like listening to worship music, and I like, and I read a book once a year. Okay. So most don't read the Bible every day. Like, no. I thought, this is a problem. And now my solution back then was to do a crash course in bibliology, which is not the best choice that I made. But we did go talking about it. I solve everything with teaching. That's one of the downfalls. But they just didn't know how to engage with Scripture. And I get it, because it's not the simplest book that you'll ever read. I mean, it's not a simple instruction manual, right? The Bible can be a very difficult book. The thing is, why would you settle for a second-hand experience of God? I love listening to worship music. I listen to about 2 or 3 sermons or podcasts a week. I try reading or listening to 2 books a month. I do all kinds of stuff to feed my faith, to help me to think in a certain way, to experience God, all these things. I do that. I enjoy it greatly. In a way, they're all secondhand experiences. Someone is discovering things in the Word and in prayer, and they hand it to me in the form of usually an audio file or a book. And it's great. But I'm being fed by someone's second-hand experience, while the real thing, the first-hand experience, is within reach. Now, it's helpful to listen to good teachers. It's helpful, listen to worship music by all means, but that same experience is available to you first-hand, and that is a lot more, formative? I don't know if that's an English word, but it does a lot more, that first-hand experience. There's nothing that can replace your personal Bible reading and prayer. Quickly turn to your neighbor and say, there's nothing that can replace your personal Bible reading and prayer. Go for it. There's nothing. Nothing. Yes. Yeah, if you don't believe me, then believe the one that's sitting next to you. There's nothing. All right, okay, all right. It cannot take this long. That one's the best teacher, the most insightful book, the most incredible bit of worship music. They are all great, but nothing can replace your personal interaction with Scripture and your personal conversation with God. If you want your life with God to grow and endure unforeseen circumstances when life is not great, when church is disappointing, when community is failing you. If you're not going through it, here's that. Life is like this. You're either in a storm or you're on your way to a storm or just coming out of a storm. And in the times when you're not in the storm, make sure that your heart is ready, that it can endure a storm. And this is where Scripture is forming you. You need to stockpile now for when you're going through a hard time. And hard times are coming. I am sorry. Hate to break it to you. Okay. In this series, we try to connect every practice back to the life of Jesus. Now, in this one, it's somehow a little bit hard, because you never see Jesus going like, hey, guys, I'm going to take some time with me and my father and the Bible. Because they didn't have printed Bibles, and they had scrolls, and they were only at the synagogues. But what you do see is Jesus going to the synagogue, picking up the scroll, scrolling down, and then reading a bit. The thing is, Jesus was a rabbi. And rabbis had one thing that most Jews didn't have. They had Scripture memorized. The entirety of what we call the Old Testament, what Jay called Scripture, or the Law and the Prophets, he had the entirety of the Hebrew Bible memorized. See, most of us are happy if we memorize Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer and John 3:16. Like, if you do that, and then you've got something under your belt. Like, that will sustain you. Jesus had the entirety of the Old Testament memorized. But, of course, I mean, Jesus' relationship with Scripture goes much, much deeper than this. When he explains to the people some of the commandments from the Torah in the Sermon on the Mount, he gave a different spin on the interpretation than what the religious leaders did. And every time he commented on a commandment, he would say something like, this is what you've heard said about this, but here's the heart behind it. Here's the reason why you got the commandment in the first place. God is after your heart. I'm telling you, the rule says this, but I'm telling you this. And it goes even deeper. He says this about it. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. So that's just a quick summary of saying the Old Testament. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teachings, and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Most commentators agree that where Jesus says that I came to fulfill the law and the prophets, he is not just saying I'm giving you the real meaning. He's saying that, but he's saying more. He says, I am the fulfillment of everything that the Old Testament is saying and teaching. I'm in Dutch we say I'm mowing the grass in front of the feet of Frank right now. It was what he's teaching on Saturday to the students. So I'm taking some of the thunder away. But just giving you the clue already. He is the fulfillment of every law, of every prophecy, of every symbol, of every promise, of every prayer that you find in this book. The Apostle John opens his biography of the life of Jesus with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Remember that God said light, and there was light. It's the Word of God that's active there. And without him was not anything made that was made. And then continues in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We'll talk about grace and truth maybe again some other time of that interesting dynamic. Jesus is God's Word made flesh. It is all about him. It all points to him. It is all fulfilled in him. When Jesus, on the day of the resurrection, meets two of his disciples that are on the road to Emmaus, still have tons of questions about everything that happened. They were disciples of Jesus, but they saw him crucified, and it completely destroyed their world. It threw them into confusion, and so they probably just went home. They left disillusioned, and Jesus enters the conversation, but maybe in disguise or something. They don't recognize that it's Jesus, of course. They think he's dead. And he is like, what are you talking about? Well, you know, have you not heard? And then after they express their confusion, Jesus begins to explain that the crucifixion, but also the resurrection that they heard rumors of, that they were meant to happen. And it says in Luke 24, beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, so basically through the entirety of the Hebrew Bible, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Okay, I think that I've talked enough about the importance of scripture and how it is an essential practice for a follower of Jesus to daily read the Bible. When I say daily, I mean every day. So let me shift to a little bit more of a practical approach. Like, okay, so what does that look like? How then? And I'm going to do it in kind of three steps. Like, the first one is not for dummies. It's for, because none of you are dummies. So the first one is entry level. Like, if you're not familiar with scripture at all, start here. The second one is if you're mildly familiar with scripture, then start here. And then the third one is for the more advanced, like if you've been reading the Bible at least regularly for most of your life, then go here. Okay, so first one. I had something else that's important. Let me, before we go there, I love that we have smartphones. I use it every day. I love that on your smartphone is a free app that is called YouVersion, all made by this church in the United States, Life Church, in somewhere in Oklahoma. They make the Bible in every language of the world available to you for free. You can choose your own translation. Now, the Dutch Bible Society decided not to put theirs on there, which I'm still a bit upset about. So there's a few translations you can read, but it's available to you for free. And so you have, so most of us have a smartphone. It's available to you wherever you go, and that's fantastic. Can I just recommend that you also get your hard copy of the Bible, and that when you make it a daily practice to read the Bible, that you go with this one, because there's something that happens, and it has to do with reverence, with honoring, with awe, when you open a beautifully leather bound book or a cheaper version of that, and you read, and you can feel the pages, because if you read it on your phone only, it feels like your news app, and it becomes just one of the many things that you read on your phone every day. But there's something, it becomes a reverence that happens when you read the real thing. All right. So first, entry level. Sometimes people say, "Hey, I start reading the Bible. I'm now in like, I'm now in Exodus." I'm thinking, "Oh man." If you're not a Christian yet, the Old Testament does need a bit of explanation. And if your expectation is like this, the Word of God, so this is the instruction manual, then Genesis, Exodus, okay, but then Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and then later you get to Joshua. And there's a few things that need a bit of explanation that may not be Genesis is not the place to start reading the Bible. I say, start reading the Gospels. Start there, and then we will don't skip the Old Testament. No. But like, start somewhere else. If you're going to start reading Scripture, start in the New Testament, because it's a little bit easier to fall in love with Scripture when you begin in the New Testament. And then we'll explain about the Old Testament later, because it does demand a bit of explanation. Start with the Gospels. Start reading about the life of Jesus. Start reading the eyewitness reports about the life of Jesus. It just start with a quick passage every day. Like maybe a chapter, maybe a little bit less if it helps you, just to get into a mode of every day engaging a little bit with Scripture. Every day, there's four like long eyewitnesses report of the life of Jesus. So it will take you some time to get through the Gospels. Just read a bit of a passage every day, and let it feed you. Let it say, "Oh, I'm getting to know Jesus." And it may just it may just happen that you fall in love with Scripture. You fall in love with Jesus. So if you want to read more, read more. But like, start. I find it most important that you make it a daily practice, that there's a daily engagement with Scripture. Drink up His words. Okay. Second, it's the second step after you've started. Make reading Scripture a daily habit. Make it a daily habit. Like there's a it's especially helpful when it's part of a routine. Now for me, that's early in the morning. That may not be the case for you. I think it's the best way. But, like you start afresh in the sense. But if it works better in the afternoon or the evening, by all means. But let it be in some way part of a routine. Ideally, with a set time and set place. Take about 15 minutes. Start there. Take 15 minutes, maybe a bit more, and combine it with prayer. And let it be the time where you devote yourself to God. Now, I highly recommend combining reading scripture with journaling. I mean, okay, for all of you students, this is what you do when you go to a class as well. You bring a notepad with you, you make some notes, and in some way, at least this is how it works for me, when I write something down, it becomes more real than when it's just a thought in my head. So if you can combine reading with journaling, like, hey, this is what I'm reading, and this speaks to me, or just write out one of the verses that jumps out to you, like it's a way to meditate on scripture. To think about it, not just read for information, but read for formation, right? So Psalm 1, for example, says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, and on his law, on his word, he meditates day and night." And if we believe that the Bible is the word of God for us today, living, active, transformative, relevant, then this should invite us to more than just a plain reading. Check the box, I've done my duty for today, my conscience can be at ease. But it invites us to a more meditative, a more reverent, a more expectant reading of Scripture. Now, there's two ways that I've practiced this that I can recommend to you. So I'm just going to tell you about it. It may help you. It's on the screen. The first one is simple. It's an acronym. It's SOAP. It cleanses you. SOAP. So SOAP is short for Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. It's on the screen. Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. So what you do is you read a passage. And then you think about the whole passage, or you select a verse that really jumps out to you, write it down. And then you think and pray, it's a bit of combination sometimes. What does it mean? What is your observation about this? What does it mean? Okay, write it down, just a few lines maybe. And then you think and pray, what is the application? What am I going to do differently today? Because I've read this, write it down. What is your how are you going to apply this truth? And then pray. Write out a prayer, a simple prayer. Lord, help me, or something like that. Pray. Scripture, observation, application. Pray. Just a simple way to help you not just read, but read for formation. Read for it to really impact your life. Okay. Second way is Lectio Divina. And that is usually a slow reading of Scripture. It actually means a holy reading. It's usually slow, it's with a sense of reference, and it's often repeated, so that you hear different things the second time or the third time than you did the first time. It works well when it's read to you. It can also work when you're just reading it, but there's something about hearing it that is quite beautiful. And there's also a way to combine that with journaling. So you take a passage, let's say a psalm, like the psalm we read earlier, and you read it three times, first with your imagination. You know, you activate that right brain stuff with your imagination. You place yourself in the story, or you place yourself in the scene that is taking place, or that is described. And you observe it, you imagine what it is like. And the second time, you listen or you read for meaning. What does it mean? Like, what is it saying here? And then the third time, you read or you listen with your feelings. What is this moving inside of me? And if it helps you, you can write it down. You can also just write some stuff down afterwards, whatever works for you. And there's also a way to reverently let Scripture speak to you. It's a great app. It's a Lectio 365 that takes you to a quick practice of Lectio Divina every day. Now, both of these ways of engaging with Scripture, I've actually explained before. So you could go back to our YouTube channel and find in 2020, April 2020, just me taking you through a quick practice of both of these things. Okay, last one, digging in. So if you've adopted a daily practice of engaging with Scripture, then a next step you could take is to become a little bit more strategic about it. So there will come a point where you want to dig in deeper and really discover things that you don't read at first glance. You want to understand some of the backgrounds, you want to understand the cross-references, timeline, you know, context, how things are fulfilled, etc. So this means you've fallen in love with Scripture and you want to know more. So that's great. If you do this, don't lose what you've built up in step one and two. So I would say always be reading the Gospels, for example. If once a year you just read through the Gospels once or twice, that's a great habit to just keep on going through your whole life. Keep that daily 15 minutes of reading and journaling going. But also there's a step further where you can study Scripture, digging in deeper, in addition to those practices. So ways to do that is the Bible in 1 year. It's a great tool, reading plan that takes you through the Bible in 1 year. And every day there's two or three chapters of Old Testament, there's a bit of a psalm or a whole psalm, and about a chapter of New Testament. And if you do that every day consistently, you've read the whole Bible in 1 year. So it is actually very helpful because it's set up by Holy Trinity Brompton and Nikki Gumbel, who's also behind the man behind the Alpha course. And he just has a way of explaining even some of the difficult stuff that you encounter when you read the whole of Scripture. Just a helpful way to understand it a little bit. Just some comments, just some things that may help you to understand it better, to study Scripture. So that's very helpful. Doing the Bible in 1 year, it does get you into a bit of reading for information's sake mode. So it's not the same as devotion. So make sure to in some way combine that. But it comes highly recommended. You can also study a book. You say, okay, for the month of November, I'm going to study the book of Romans, or I'm going to study the book of Ezekiel or so, or whatever. And then it's helpful to get a study Bible that provides you with some context, you know, insights about the passage, backgrounds, etc. Maybe get a simple commentary. There's a series by N.T. Wright that I could recommend. It's the New Testament for Everyone, if you're studying New Testament books. It's just a little book, just per chapter, just some explanation to help you to digest it. What does it mean? You can read through the whole book then, of course, in a shorter period of time. Maybe taking larger portions so you can see the plot line, in a way, developing. But then also do combine this with journaling. So write down some of your findings. What is hitting you? What is standing out to you? You can never read Scripture just for information. You always read it somehow for formation. It should do something to you. Lastly, finally, Scripture memorization is really a way to let Scripture speak to you more deeply. Is when you just memorize some verses. So I do this sometimes with my daughter even, because I want her to think Scripture. I want her to refute lies with the truth of the word in the same way that Jesus did in the desert. We read about it last week. Especially when you're struggling with something, maybe a certain sin, maybe something that you're struggling in your view of God, in your view of yourself, find verses, and you can just Google that even, find verses that speak to you, that speak truth into the lie you started to believe. Memorize them, repeat them every day, like let it reform, even in the way that your brain works, let it reform your views. By Scripture memorization, it becomes like a way to withstand the arrows of the devil, because we do have an enemy that wants to counter the truth of Scripture with his lies. Okay, quick practice for this week. This is what you do with your group. Make a commitment for yourself for a daily engagement with Scripture. Level one, level two, maybe level three. So make a commitment for yourself for a daily engagement with Scripture. Faithfully practice it. And then talk about it with your group. How is it going? Like, what are you struggling with? Like, what are you doing? What are some helpful things that you do that I can maybe learn from? Talk about it the next time you meet. Evaluate it and try to keep each other accountable to how this is going. To close off, last week we talked about the practice of fasting and looked at Jesus' encounter with the devil in the desert. It's a key chapter for understanding the practice of fasting, but also for the practice of Scripture and the practice of solitude even, which we'll talk about next week. To the first temptation of the devil, Jesus answers this: it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I pray that we will all become people that understand that we need God's word more than we need food. That when we go about our day not having engaged with Scripture, immediately we'll start to feel the hunger pains. Hey, you forgot something. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we'll become people of your word, people that just fall in love with Scripture and just are hungry for your word. Open the Bible to us in a new and in a fresh way. I pray for everyone here that has just never been able to make this a daily practice. Lord, that you will give them a boldness and a resilience to go for it, to make this a habit, to make this a routine. I thank you that, again, this is an invitation from you. You never go with condemnation, but you go with conviction. And I think some of us may have experienced some of that conviction. Let it be an invitation to you, to a life in freedom, to a life where that's formed by Scripture. And I pray for all of us that we'll become people that just love your word, are soaked in truth, that you will open our eyes to the formation machine of the world. Let our reading of Scripture be counterformation. That we always treat your word with a very high view in all of who you are, all of what you've done, and in all of what you're saying to us. Amen. I want to invite the worship team up. We're going to still take a bit of time for worship. But we also want to take some time for ministry. Not necessarily related to the message. So the message really is about a daily practice. So it's a little bit hard to practice right now and maybe to respond to it right now. But the thing with Scripture is it's quite a thick book. And to be honest, not every time I read, I'm thinking, oh yes, Lord, that was for me. Thank you. Sometimes it's just like it's a formation that is happening. So it's forming me, but it's not always a big revelation. Like, oh, you are good. I know that better because I've been reading. In a vineyard, we believe that the Holy Spirit has filled every believer, and He is inviting us to partner with Him and to pray and to minister to others, to give words, pictures, prayers, blessings. And I realized this morning that what that really is that the Holy Spirit may sometimes help us to give the right word at the right time for someone. So what someone gives in prayer, or like, I have a word for you, or so, I may have a word, I have this impression. It's usually the truth of Scripture, but then the right bit at the right time for the right person. And everyone that was at conference with me this week, you just became the prayer team for this morning. So I want to invite you to come forward. I want to invite the rest of you to stand. But there's a lot of receiving that we have done, and I just want to invite you to now receive from them, because we're ready to give something out. As I usually say, my Holy Spirit button is switched on. I feel that there's words. I feel there's blessings that are here for you today. The right word at the right time. So if you would stand with us. If you need something, if you need a blessing, if you need a word, if you just want someone to just pray over you for no reason at all, come. Don't miss out. Come. We wanna pray for you and wanna encourage everyone here, like stick with it for a little bit. Like don't just go for a quick prayer and then send people away, but let's stick with people in prayer and just invite God to speak and take some time to listen. Yeah? All right. Let's worship.